Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
The Steinway piano has graced concert halls, private homes, stages, and private salons for centuries all over the world. A roster of Steinway artists includes some of the greatest pianists in the history of performance. And on Thursday, June 8th, Steinway & Sons presents a very unusual event at Immaculata University on the Main Line. Along with their exhibit of Steinway pianos, Immaculata University will present a concert by members of their piano faculty to honor the Delaware Valley's newest Steinway artist, William Carr. However, Mr. Carr, an accomplished musician and educator, has also had a fascinating career incorporating the specific skills used by musicians into another aspect of learning. He's our guest today here on Crossover. Welcome to Crossover. It's a
pleasure.
Thank
you for having me, Jill. Thank you.
Okay, you are a concert pianist. You are a professor of music at Immaculata University. You studied at Temple. You got your degree in performance. You also studied at the Juilliard School, where you had received a graduate scholarship in the professional studies program. You studied with Adele Marcus, a great teacher.
Yes, she was.
And, of course, you've also performed all over the world. You also studied in Munich, is that right?
I did. I studied at the Munich Conservatory, postdoctoral studies, actually, in chamber music, with concert pianist Paul Badura-Skoda.
One of the great ones.
And he was very instrumental in my work that I came back when I returned from Europe and started to speak to corporations. And, you know, I know we'll get into that.
Okay. Now, you just glossed over that very quickly. And, of course, this is a whole aspect of you that is so fascinating, and I would say necessary, because what you have done is you have taken the role of the artist as an interpreter of music, and you've transferred it to, you tell me.
Well, to the corporate world.
Right.
I found that when I was in Munich, Paul Badura-Skoda would speak to his audiences about the lives of the composers. And I thought it was extremely fascinating how real he made many of these composers to all of the members of the audience, even if they were perhaps not avid classical music fans. And so, anyway, he would speak to his audiences, and I had just accepted a position as artist in residence at a college in Philadelphia, Gwynedd Mercy College. And when I came back there, I started to speak to my audiences when I would perform. And in the first concert that I gave, there were two executives from the Sun Company there. And they came up to me and said, "Would you like to come and speak to our executives about performance and try to make some analogies between managerial performance and musical performance?" I said, "Well, I can barely pump self-serve gas, so I can't imagine what you're going to ask me to say to a group of oil executives." But I went out and I got a book by a former CEO of Penny's called The Ethical Executive. And in this book, I saw a lot of the analogies that I was looking for to make these transfers between managerial performance and musical performance. I did these presentations for Sun Company and other corporations for about a year, and they said, "We really think you need credibility in the business world. Would you be willing to go back to school?" And that's when I approached the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania to see if they would be interested in my pursuing a graduate degree there in international relations and international business.
Which you, of course, achieved.
Yes. And with a concentration, however, in creativity.
That's concentration and creativity. Has there ever been anyone that had that as a concentration in any degree program?
Well, I think, you know, there are actually academic institutions now which offer degrees in creative problem solving. One is at the State University of New York at Buffalo, and it's a master's degree. And but I do believe that, and of course, Wharton was a little skeptical because everything in business needs to be measured. And their first question to me is, how are we going to measure the creative process in order for you to write a thesis project in this area? So I did find a area of statistics and meta-analysis where you can measure the things such as creativity. And that was the basis of my thesis project, which was on creativity.
So is creativity is not just like talent, and I put that in quotes, it just appears full-blown because somebody has it?
Well, I think that's part of it. But I also think it can be, I think it can be an acquired ability. I think there are individuals who can learn how to reach problems or solve problems and reach decisions in more creative ways. And I think that's really what my studies in the academic side of the creative process were able to do for me. I really did learn that there were ways that individuals could become more conceptual in their thinking, become more lateral in their thinking. I think, you know, unfortunately in our society, especially in Western culture, we tend to think that the only way to look at problems is through a very analytical, linear, propositional, vertical way. Artists tend to think conceptually. We tend to think laterally. How else can we use things? Why else? How, what, when, where, why? Those kinds of things.
Well, you just answered a question that I was starting to ask you. Give us an example as an artist, let's say, not analyzing, but learning to play something with a problem.
Well,
and transfer it to the real life of business.
Generally, what happens is they will usually tell me, if I'm going to go to the to a corporation, they will tell me that our organization is facing this particular issue, say a motivation issue, something like that. I will try then to bring in composers and try to discuss how they were motivated musically. I think sometimes it's difficult for business audiences, especially American business audiences, because they're not familiar with classical music, to understand some of the issues that composers and performers have to deal with.
Is it only limited to classical? I mean, you talk about creativity, certainly jazz.
Oh, absolutely. But I focus on the classical because I think that stretches them more.
Yeah.
Because if they have never been exposed to it, I mean, they will hear they may not know what the difference is between Bach's music and Gershwin, but they hear something different. And that's what stimulates them.
Idea. Well, what do you say that they hear?
Well, they hear a jazz. They hear someone attempting to fuse together a system that was very entrenched, say, in a tradition, and to bring jazz into that tradition. And you can even make linkages to Bach because Bach has a lot of jazz elements in it too. So I think this ability for us to, if you will, cross over, if I can use that term, to cross over and to hear these sort of lateral things from one discipline to another in terms of music, I don't think they are so comfortable with that because they don't think conceptually.
Well, they're also not open. I think an artist somehow searches within himself, how do I resolve this? Is it a technical thing? Is it something that I have to analyze technically? Is it something that happens in my brain? Yeah. Do I come to a stop somewhere and kind of create this roadblock?
Sure.
What do I do to resolve this problem? But artists do deal with this, and I don't think they even realize that they're problem solving.
Absolutely, they don't. And I think, you know, if you're playing a piano concerto, you are problem solving in some way. There's more to it than that, of course, but, you know, it's inspirational. It's all those kinds of things. But there is that element. I think, you know, Einstein, I read a quote by Einstein years ago where he said, "The most difficult part of a problem is not solving it, it's setting it up." And that stayed with me for so long because I think it's true of a piece of music. The performance part of it, in my opinion, should be the easiest part. It's how you get to that level that is the challenge. And I think in corporations, because they always say time is money, time can be a lot more money if you are solving something incorrectly, when you have to undo the wrong thing. We have the same problem as musicians. When you get students sometimes who have learned incorrectly, you have to undo things.
Right. You spend years unlearning
exactly.
mistakes.
Right. And so I think, you know, sometimes practice is not perfect. It's permanent. And it can
Ooh,
be permanently
true.
Wrong.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Yes, painfully true.
Absolutely.
So, well, again, I'm not going to let you off the hook. Give me a corporate problem and compare it to a specific piano, you know, as a pianistic problem, say.
Well, I don't know that I could do it just like in that vein.
Have to give you some kind of a realm to
yes,
deal with.
Yes, I think I would have to know the corporate issue that we were dealing with. Most of my things, for example, are going to be dealing in the management area. They might be dealing somewhat in the marketing area.
I would say marketing.
Marketing has to drive because it's a very creative area.
So let's choose the marketing area.
Well,
I don't
necessarily think that to learn marketing is an important discipline, but I think there is a sense of marketing too in oneself. I do not see anything different between the Archduke Exxon and the Archduke Rudolph.
We're going to get calls on that one.
I'm sure we are.
I can tell you, yes.
But, you know, I do believe we live in a capitalist system,
a society.
And I do believe what makes a capitalist system move are multinational corporations. How can we give to them and they can give to us to make this work together? And I do believe there are strong linkages between the two worlds.
They want them to be, I think, mm-hmm. as well. So, but in terms of marketing yourself, so you're really talking about that's still not the problem that the pianist technically faces. So are you talking about technical problems as well?
I think, you know, if you think I can give you an example. I will give you an example. If you think of the elements of music as being melody, harmony, rhythm, form, texture, mood, mm-hmm. those six elements. And then if we look at elements of business management being, say, insight, vision, focus, sensitivity, versatility, patience, they would be the mm-hmm. six primary elements of business management. Generally, I would say most corporate people would say they're lucky if they get two or three of those out of a manager. But the difference is the way we think about elements. Musicians tend to think of things cyclically, that we see things are all interrelated, whereas in the corporate world, because of that linear training, they do not see things in a cyclical way. Years ago, I spoke at the U.S. Treasury Department, and they showed me their organizational chart, and they said, "What do you think of it?" And I said, "I think you should burn it." And they said, "Well, why do you say that?" I said, "Because there's an adage in creativity that says when you always do what you've always done, you always get what you always got."
Oh, yeah.
And that is so true about playing the piano, too. If you yeah. keep playing the piano the same way, why would you expect the results to be different? And people will practice something because I think all human beings, are addicted to stability, and we don't really like change. And once we hold on to something, we want it to stay. The difficult part of being a pianist is that nothing stays the same. It's a very dynamic situation. We feel differently each day. Our response to the music is very different. I think we are trained to think in this cyclical way where we do interrelate things very, very readily. I think that's why sometimes the corporate world finds musicians and artists maybe difficult to understand.
Yes.
Because we don't process information at all the same way.
Yes. That's very interesting that you should say that.
And these are some of the talks that I will have. Most of my talks that I do for corporations, Jill, are with CEOs or with people who are in a position to affect change. Simply because if you have someone like myself coming in talking about change and creativity, and they do not, or they're not empowered to make changes, it's going to be a point of frustration for them mm-hmm. and not something to help them.
But you're still playing the piano. You're a performing artist.
Absolutely.
You're performing on a very high level.
Right. And that's what I wanted to do. I mean, as I told you, I became very close to Adele Marcus in the 11 and a half, 12 years I was with her. And I remember one time, because she was aware of my creativity presentations I was doing, and she came to me and she said, she always prefaced everything with dear. She said, "Dear, you know, I want to tell you that it's a very unique thing you're doing, but," she said, "it's incredible." And she said, "For some reason, I think it's going to work." And she said, "You'll probably wind up playing more than many of my major prize winners." And she said, "You know, I didn't live to, or she didn't live that I could show her."
Well, that's the main reason that you're here as well, right. Is that you will be appearing right. as a Steinway artist. At Immaculata College, you're going to be doing a concert. And what is the date of that?
That is June 8th, Thursday, June 8th. It's part of a Steinway presentation. And they are coming with many of their art case pianos, and we're going to have a concert on June 8th. I've invited two of the other piano teachers on the faculty to perform, Janet Alquist, who is an Eastman grad and a tremendous pianist, and also Maria Martin, who went to the Cincinnati Conservatory, and she's going to perform that evening also.
Now, why a Steinway? You said it's... You said the quality of the instrument is what really is what's important.
There is no piano that allows you to express yourself musically, technically, physically, rhythmically, every dimension that we talked about of those cyclical things that I was saying, such as a Steinway. And that goes for their Boston products that they have. And I mean, the craftsmanship that is involved in a Steinway piano is second to none.
But there are other pianos
there
that
are.
Have also a very fine reputation
they
through
do.
The years.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and also, as I said, I studied with Paul Badura Skoda, who was a Bösendorfer specialist. And he plays
yes.
almost always Bösendorfers. But I my preference is the Steinway and always will be.
What is it to become a Steinway artist other than believing in the piano?
Well, I think it's a recognition by the by Steinway that that you are performing in serious venues, and certainly it usually comes from the local area, as my recognition did from Jacobs, and I think that it's a tremendous honor.
So they approached
yes,
you.
Yes,
that's
they,
really quite exciting.
They come to you, and
it's an exciting roster because
absolutely.
Some very great people
sure,
have been Steinway artists.
Sure, believe
artists.
Me, I am extremely humbled to be part of any aspect of that. It's a wonderful honor for me.
So you are a professor of music, but you also teach courses in
research and statistics.
I think it's a fascinating subject.
It's a little hard to be specific with it unless I, you know, there's so much
well,
that
I was
happens
looking
interactively.
For some examples.
Yeah, there's so much interactively that happens with an audience
yeah.
when you have them there and asking questions.
Sure.
You know, like, for example, I did lecture at the Aristide Institute at the Wharton School for a few years. I did that with Professor Howard Perlmutter. And who's there? He's like a Del Marcus at Wharton.
He's
a tremendous person, and he was my mentor really at the Wharton School, Howard Perlmutter, and he invited me many times to come and do these presentations because that's where they had the international managers come.
But you're also it's a motivational thing.
Absolutely,
I mean you're really starting people going.
Yes, right, and thinking differently.
Sure. And again, that's really the whole thing. But you're absolutely right. Well, I suppose that's the comparison they always make. To the artistic temperament
right.
and the, I don't know what you call the other,
right.
but it's almost in a derogatory way
right.
that being artistic and emotional and so on, you know,
oh,
thinking
Jill,
in
let
this
me
way.
Tell you.
I mean, it's negative and
well,
it's quite
I get,
the contrary.
I get that.
You really have to have a lot of guts
you
and
do.
You have to be strong and to take a lot
yes.
and still maintain your sensitivity as
right.
an artist.
Yes, that is a challenge.
And of course, this is, but I think in a sense, if you are an artistic temperament, if you have, it's there. And it, no matter what happens,
it will be
it
there.
Will always come to the fore when it is, when you draw on it.
Sure.
And I really do think so.
Yeah. I think if it's there, it's very hard to
And creativity, it. When you see there are successful people, creative people, who are creative in many realms. They may be musicians and they're painters.
Right.
They're writers. They're poets. I mean...
Well, Dr. Perlmutter, in addition to writing books on strategic planning, had a showing in London of his artworks.
Yes.
And he'd written a book of poetry.
Or cooks.
Oh, yeah.
Someone like Danny Kaye was a chef.
Absolutely.
And then Xavier Cugat was a great, great artist.
Right.
You know, he was a
exactly.
South American.
Yeah.
But I really think that. And we are... Tony Bennett, a wonderful artist.
Yep.
And so you say, well, how, when, where? But no, it
right.
comes out in
but
so many
I do
ways.
Think that's true. It
that's
will
true.
Manifest itself somewhere.
And lucky are we to be artists.
Yeah. Oh, I think so, Jill.
I want to wish you the very, very best. A pleasure to have you here today and playing on our beautiful piano in our studios. And I look forward to more comparison between the creativity of the musical artist and the creativity of the person who works in the corporate world. We hope that we'll be hearing much more from you, Bill Carr.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.